Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Philip sent me an interesting story out of South Carolina, and this brings up a topic I've talked about briefly before, and that is what qualifications you need to have to be a judge. Most states now require trial judges to have a law degree, be a lawyer, and practice for some time, but there are exceptions throughout our nation. And one exception is apparently South Carolina, where magistrates do not require any legal training. And some people say, you know, Steve, I like the idea of a non-legal judge. Just use common sense and what's right to rule the courtroom. And the problem, of course, is that they might not understand evidence or procedure or the Constitution. And so you might get a lot of really crazy results where the first time an actual judge with legal training looks at it, they go, you can't do that. It just reverses it. So that can create judicial inefficiency. So what's going on in South Carolina is the governor is now addressing the magistrate-judge controversy. And Joseph Cranny wrote an article for the Post and Courier, and ProPublica worked on this story as well. Governor Henry McMaster is urging sweeping changes to the qualifications and oversight of South Carolina magistrates after a joint investigation by the Post and Courier and ProPublica expose abuse and incompetence among the state's frontline judges. Abuse is bad. Incompetence is bad also. The governor pointed to that reporting in his annual State of the State address this past week, calling for what he described as needed reforms to fend off further corruption and misapplication of the law by the 300 magistrates in South Carolina. Under his plan, every magistrate would be required to be a practicing lawyer with a clean record. As the news organizations reported, currently a large majority of these judges have never practiced law. The governor also called on lawmakers to revamp their process for screening and approving candidates who now need little more than the support of local politicians to sit in judgment on hundreds of thousands of criminal and civil cases each year. The first step in reform is transparency and accountability, the governor said. His recommendations, which do face an uphill battle in the legislature, amount to the most significant proposal to date for what advocates have said are long-needed changes to an outdated system, one that has remained virtually untouched for more than a century. A series by the Post and Courier and ProPublica exposed how the flawed system of selection and oversight provided fertile ground for misconduct on the bench. Handpicked by politicians, some magistrates were found to have accepted bribes, stolen money, messed up trials, trampled over constitutional protections, and mishandled even the most basic elements of criminal cases. In addition, about three quarters of the state's magistrates have never practiced law. Their ranks have included construction workers, insurance agents, and pharmacists. Now, before anybody gets offended, I am not insulting construction workers, nor insurance agents, nor pharmacists. They're fine people. Those are important jobs. However, the same way I don't want a construction worker acting as a magistrate, I'm assuming this construction worker wouldn't want me building his house. Or that insurance agent wouldn't want me coming in and running his office. And you certainly wouldn't want me behind the counter dispensing drugs. So the whole point is that there are qualifications you can have to do certain jobs. And to be a magistrate, you'd need to have a basic understanding of the law, which you'd think lawyer. Before taking the bench, they are required to undergo a few hours of training, but it's less time than is required of barbers and hair salon technicians in South Carolina. So if you want to become a magistrate or a hair salon technician in South Carolina, it's going to take more training to become the hair salon technician than to become a magistrate. In the wake of this recent reporting, some lawmakers moved quickly to propose a set of reforms. One Republican is spearheading an effort that would mandate magistrates undergo more formal legal training and tighten scrutiny around the appointments. On Wednesday, the governor insisted lawmakers should take the matter a step further, placing even stricter requirements on magistrates' qualifications and appointments. However, after interviewing several key lawmakers, it appears that they are doubtful about passing ambitious reforms anytime soon, with this year's legislative session dominated by the state's recovery from a pandemic-wrecked economy. So they're going to say, hey, we got more important stuff to work on. And they do have important stuff to work on. Multitask, people. Not everyone is convinced that South Carolina's situation is a problem. Defenders of the current system contend that magistrates perform an essential function by clearing dockets of minor cases, so that the state's circuit judges have time to handle major felony and civil cases. Well, the magistrates could do that if they were qualified, too. They preside over cases involving petty thefts, drunk driving, domestic violence, assaults, and disorderly conduct. They also issue arrest warrants, set bail, and conduct preliminary hearings to assess if there's sufficient probable cause to support felony charges, such as murder, rape, and robbery. Supporters say that non-lawyer magistrates have proven themselves capable of performing these duties. I find it hard to believe. I just do. I don't know. It's difficult to go in and get a warrant issued by a judge, and to do it correctly takes some effort. And the idea that a guy who's never, or a gal who's never been to law school, has no legal training, and is just a good person using common sense, can necessarily understand what the threshold is for a warrant to be issued. Judge Danny Singleton is president of the Statewide Association of Magistrates and other local judges, did not return a message seeking comment on Thursday. A senator who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee there in South Carolina, which would consider any proposal before a floor vote, he said he has seen no set of examples that show me that there's a pattern of abuse. So he's fine with it. He said no senator has broached the subject of reform. When asked, he said he had not read the series in the paper, and he asked a reporter to send it to him. So he said, it may be far more of an issue than I'm aware of. Some of his colleagues have already proposed reforms. That includes Davis and Republican Senator Tom Young, who has proposed legislation to close a loophole that allowed magistrates to hide prior ethical offenses while applying for new terms. A dozen sitting judges who have been disciplined for misconduct by the state's judicial watchdog skated through their last appointment, no questions asked. McMaster, who's a former state attorney general, has largely been quiet on the subject of magistrate reform. Presented with the findings of the news organization's investigation, McMaster declined to be interviewed. But he has acknowledged the governor's limited role in their selection. While the state constitution places appointments in the governor's hands, in practice, the executive office acts as nothing more than a rubber stamp. State senators hold broad authority to handpick candidates, and selections are almost never questioned outside of the local delegation. McMaster, during Wednesday's remarks, urged a process with more scrutiny, one that would require candidates to be screened in legislative hearings, that would place magistrate appointments in line with the state's circuit judges, who handle all felony cases and are required to be seasoned attorneys before they get on the bench. A Senate Republican majority leader said he welcomed the governor's call for reforms, but he and others cautioned that the proposals raised significant questions about how they'd be implemented. Well, they'd be implemented the way they implemented them everywhere else. And you've already got similar processes to get your other judges, don't you? So you simply just say, from now on, the same rules that apply to judges apply to magistrates. It's one sentence. It's not that hard to do. And I know there's still some skeptics who've hung in there this far who are still saying, Steve, you can't convince me that magistrates with no legal training are a problem because they could be the wise old neighbor who knows everybody, knows everything, and is just a good guy or a good gal. Could be. And won't that person sit in judgment? Kind of like, I don't know, think of Andy Griffith, Mayberry, right? Just think of him if he was the judge, you know? He'd look at the parties and go, well, what do you really want here? What do you really want here? And he'd figure out a way to make everybody happy. It's not what happens. I can tell you that the law, as it is already complicated enough to the point where some judges have issues with it. But they know how to figure this stuff out. And so judges make mistakes. It's the way of the Court of Appeals. But to have people not trained in the law at all, who, as pointed out, have less training than a barber in terms of time they put in training, are going to be prone to making more mistakes. And those mistakes are going to do one of two things. You go in front of a judge who makes a mistake that goes against you, right? You either live with that mistake, which is not fair, or you take it up on appeal. And by the way, the same people who argue and say that you should be allowed to have a magistrate with no legal training are also probably going to say you should be able to go to court without an attorney, represent yourself, right? So let's think about that for a second. You go in front of a magistrate who's not an attorney, but you represent yourself because you have the right to do that. And the magistrate screws something up. Now you've got to go appeal your case. Now, If you had an attorney, you got to go appeal your case. Also, it's going to cost you money, but either way, it's time or money, but it's a waste of either or both. And I have had judges, actual judges, make mistakes before. And I take them up on appeal and I get the ruling turned around and go back down. And it depends on the situation, because in America, a lot of times on appeal, you don't get your attorney fees paid. So a magistrate screws something up. You take it up on appeal, get it spun around, reversed. And now you just had to pay the cost of that. And so if you look at the population of all the cases in front of all the magistrates in South Carolina that happened, say, you know, the last full week of business they had before they shut down, assuming they shut down. If you look at all of the rulings they made and you ask yourself how many of them were bad rulings, it's going to be a larger number than the number of rulings made by judges in the same week. Percentage-wise, it's going to be off the charts. It's going to be just crazy, the number of bad rulings they make. And the question is, how many of them are people just going to live with? Because it's like, ugh, I've already spent so much time on this. Screwed, I'll move on with my life. Or how many people are going to be forced to take that up on appeal, tie up the next court's docket. And by the way, that docket is being run by a judge who has legal training, but we're wasting his time now or her time now. And it's wasteful. It's wasteful. And then you get that spun around. And a lot of times when cases get reversed, they get sent back down for further proceedings. So now you wind up back in front of the same magistrate. And he knows or she knows that you took it up on appeal and you got them reversed. I've had that happen too. I've actually had a judge make a ridiculous ruling on the record. Took it up on appeal, where the judge on appeal actually laughed at my opponent and said, you know, I'm sending this back down, right? Reversed and sent us back down. And we go into court the first hearing after that ruling's been made. And I walk up the podium and I, you know, state my appearance to the record. My opposition does as well. And I'm just looking at the judge. I don't have to say a word. He and I can read each other's minds. And he's looking at me, Leto, I can't believe you did that. And I'm looking back at him in my brain. I'm just going, ha, ha, ha. He knows it. Nothing he can do about it. And he had to enter a judgment that he had said was not correct. And I had said was. And by the way, the court on appeal said it was also. So I'm not saying that judges with legal training are perfect. Obviously they're not. But I assure you, they make fewer mistakes legally than the non-trained ones do. Okay. And I guess, you know, like I said, the pharmacist or the construction worker various other careers that people have to become magistrates. Again, I'm not knocking their former career. They're probably very good at what they did. But there are jobs that require training, and you want someone to have the training, because otherwise it just messes stuff up. So I'd like to see this change in South Carolina, but I'll admit I'm not a resident of South Carolina. I know people who are. Hey, JP, how you doing? So I don't have a dog in this fight, as they say. But generally speaking, I kind of do, because I like to see the law applied fairly and equally across the country. And whenever I hear about stuff like this, I think New York State might have an issue with magistrates as well. I have a faint memory of that. And so it's crazy. It's crazy. So I like to see people who have legal issues go into court and get what they're entitled to. So I like to see that everywhere, not just in Michigan. So there you go. Joseph Cranny wrote it. The Post and Courier and the ProPublica published it. Philip sent it to me. Thanks a lot. South Carolina's governor addresses magistrate-judge controversy by urging changes. Questions or comments? Put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.